Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I want to review a little of what we were looking at last week. We were looking at some of the lawlessness that is engulfing our culture these days, and also some of the practices of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then also we've been tracking anti-Semitism as well. And so I really want to make this part three, at least the title for my podcast tonight, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man or the Son of God be. And the idea being, of course, that just as it was in Noah's day with violence and lawlessness, and in Sodom and Gomorrah with the practices that were taking place there, with the proliferation of the acceptance of homosexual lifestyles, and then as well the ever-increasing amount of anti-Semitism in the world today. As we continue to look at these items here, it just recently struck me how many words start with a D that are really downer words. Well, there's a D word right there. it just kind of popped into my head that we have all of these words that start with a D that really describe, I think, the perilous times we're living in pretty well. Words like devastation, danger, despair, dysfunction, disingenuous, disease, demented, disaster, doom, destruction, deception, and of course discernment, which is somewhat of an antidote to deception, you know, those who have it. And this is why I call my program Deception in the Last Days, with the end towards trying to instill discernment, helping to teach discernment, if you will. I mean, it really comes through studying God's Word and knowing God, but I think I can share some of the insights of what I see happening in these areas of deception as a watchman on the wall to warn people of things that they may not be aware of or see, because, of course, Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:4, take heed lest any man deceive you, because the end times were going to be a very, very deceptive time indeed. So as we look at all these words that start with a D, it reminded me of a book that was a little booklet put out by Lighthouse Trails. And the booklet was called D is for Deception, the Language of the New Christianity. And there is a very excellent little booklet, of course. But one particular entry here is something regarding something called rewords. Well, we just looked at some D words. Well, these are re-words and R-E words, let's say. Words like re-Jesus, re-imagine, rethink, reform, reinvent, re-imagine. Well, that's a repeat. I'm not making this stuff up. It just kind of flows. Lord, help me, God. Anyway, the reinvent or the rethink is very popular. There's been conferences that are called Rethink, with the idea of rethinking Christianity so that we can bring about a new Christianity. That's the subtitle of this booklet, The Language of the New Christianity. And so rethink, that's a very popular phrase. I know of a church that I attended, and they were using a rethink program. I believe it was a church growth program that Andy Stanley was involved with. I'm pretty sure. I was told that Andy Stanley, that this was his program. Since I'm not 100% sure, I will leave it at that. But the idea of this rethink program and somehow instilling church growth through different aspects of financing and et cetera, just, you know, man-made church growth type stuff, I guess along the lines of Rick Warren, et cetera. I left the church before I heard all the details of it. But anyway, these D and re words seem to characterize these perilous days that we are in today. I used examples of lawlessness last week and the week before, really, in our country, in the U.S., with the Black Lives Matters and the Antifa groups. and then also within Iran with the Shiite branch of Islam as they look for the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, who is drawn almost like a magnet to violence. He's their Messiah. He's a false Messiah. But violence in their belief system will help speed his return. And so I looked at these two examples, one in the U.S., one in Iran. But actually, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8 isn't limited. And I'll let you look that one up for yourself. But the idea that this lawlessness and the man of sin and the man of lawlessness that's coming, the Antichrist, isn't limited to the U.S. or Iran. But actually, most all strands of Islam is characterized by violent, lawless terrorism, which really began with Muhammad's conversion by the point of a sword, evangelism. That's kind of a catchy phrase for evangelism, isn't it? evangelism, conversion by the point of a sword. But that's in reality what took place in the very beginnings of Islam. And so you find terrorism being a tool of the radical fundamentalist Islamists, which of course doesn't mean that all Muslim people are terrorists and want to terrorize you, but it is a big part of Islam. And of course, I think is another example of this lawlessness in the last days, that the Antichrist is going to come riding in on this surf, wave of lawlessness as he comes to power. And how much time there is for that to take place, we don't know. But we certainly see things changing and becoming more and more lawless, even in our own country, in the U.S., something that we've not been used to, at least this type of organized violence towards political goals of Marxism, like the Black Lives Matters and Antifa are involved with. Well, anyway, this is the little review I wanted to do. Now, I want to consider the anti-Semitism that's contained in this recent newsletter. This is from the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and this is from August, actually, this month, 2020. The Bible is under attack. A new Bible translation from the Danish Bible Society exposes the latest front in the war against the Scriptures. In it, the translators have almost completely removed the term Israel from the New Testament and from several passages in the Old Testament. For example, Psalm 121:4 states, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." They replace Israel with us. Okay. Now read it again, with us instead of Israel. As you can see, the entire context of God's protective love for his chosen people is lost. "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." They replace Israel with us. Okay, that verse is, of course, talking about God's preserving Israel. And this this is an anti-Semitic, really, translation. And this, he goes on in the newsletter to say, "You may remember me writing to you about replacement theology, where some believe erroneously that the church has replaced Israel. This amounts to erasement theology, where Israel is removed from the pages of Scripture altogether. We unashamedly tell our Jewish friends," he says, "that we affirm three key facts confirmed in Scripture. The Jewish people have a biblical, moral, and legal right to live in their ancient homeland of Israel. As Christians, we oppose anti-Semitism in all its forms. It is satanic in origin. We believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah of Israel and Savior of the world." He goes on to say, "The battle over God's word is as old as Genesis 3:1, when Satan cast doubt in Eve's mind by saying, 'Has God indeed said?' What God said was clear, and Satan began his never-ending quest to undermine the integrity of God's word. It grieves me that the Danish Bible Society undertook this project to clarify the word of God, when in fact they did just the opposite. How long will it be before these changes make their way into other language versions of the Bible and become accepted?" So, we see the lawlessness, the violence, the anti-Semitism all continuing on steroids at our time in history. Now, there was an excellent article by a man named Damon Duck. It was called "Dangerous Days" by Damon Duck. And right there you have four more D words. Not planning this stuff, folks. I just found this article, though, and I wanted to share it with you. because I thought it was very good, very well written. It was July 19th, 2020, when he wrote this article. And please pray for Damon, as I just found out recently that his wife, Rachel, went to be with the Lord recently, actually a week ago today. And so keep the Damon Duck and his family in prayer as Rachel has gone to be with the Lord. Okay, now, this article is from the Rapture Ready site, and here's some of the things that he has to say about the dangerous days that we're living in. Please know, he says, that I voted Democrat for many years, but I was a Bible believer, and the time came when I concluded that the party had changed and left me. I started registering as an independent, but couldn't vote a split ticket in nominating elections in the state I live in, so I started registering as a Republican. God is not a Republican or a Democrat, and I do not want to be political, but there are major biblical differences between the two candidates in the upcoming election. One is for world government, and the other is against world government. One is for the global ethic, the other is against the global ethic. One is for open borders, the other is against open borders. One is for abortion, the other is against abortion. One defends those that kneel during the national anthem, destroy statues, etc., and the other is against those that kneel and destroy statues, etc. One is for higher taxes and wealth redistribution, and the other is against higher taxes and wealth redistribution. One is receiving millions of dollars from those who want to defund the police, and the other is against those who want to defund the police. One is willing to cut U.S. support for Israel, and the other is a strong supporter of Israel. One has some Muslim advisors, and the other has some evangelical Christian advisors. And I would add, although, of course, although some are questionable, some are of the Word Faith or the New Apostolic Reformation variety, so pray for discernment for our President Trump. He says one does not accept the Bible definition of marriage, and the other supports the Bible definition of marriage. One is in favor of forcing the U.S. to pay for transgender surgeries, and the other opposes the U.S. paying for transgender surgeries. One is in favor of forcing Christian family businesses and Christian charities to provide contraceptive insurance coverage to employees, and the other is opposed to it. One wants to replace the oil and coal industries with wind and solar power, and the other wants to keep the oil and coal industries. And finally, in this list, one was part of an administration that signed a deal that would eventually let Iran have nuclear weapons, gave Iran access to multiple billions of dollars, and airlifted more than $1.5 billion in cash to the terrorist nation, and the other withdrew from that deal and put sanctions on Iran. I was wrong. There is yet another one in his list of differences in these two parties, these two candidates. One will fill vacancies on the Supreme Court with liberals, and the other will fill vacancies with conservatives. All right. He says some will say, I am being political, and I am concerned about that. But in my mind, the next election is about opposing or supporting what the Bible says about many issues. I believe the election of one candidate will signify that God is ready to let the U.S. destroy itself, and the election of the other candidate will signify that God is not ready to let the U.S. destroy itself, at least for the time being. God is in control, and Trump will either be reelected or removed. If Trump is reelected, the deep state and their minions will keep trying to remove him from the office because they want to include the U.S. in the New World Order. If Trump is removed, Trump's replacement and those behind him seem ready to surrender U.S. sovereignty to the New World Order, and it could happen fast. There's a second issue, and it may be the most dangerous of the two. God gave all of the promised land to Israel and warned the nations that he will be against those that divide it. Biden clearly supports the two-state solution of dividing Israel. Trump is clearly the most pro-Israel president in the history of the restored nation. Trump is clearly ready to endorse the Israeli annexation of about 30% of Judea and Samaria. And again, this is from July. So I don't know if some current events may have changed a bit. I'm not sure on that. But anyway, the article goes on. The problem is that God gave all of Judea and Samaria to Israel and more, not about 30% of it, and God will not allow Trump, the U.S., Netanyahu, or anyone else to give part or all of the remainder away and get away with it. These are dangerous days no matter who God decides to raise up over the U.S. The rapture is the hope of those who have accepted Jesus. Of course, the rapture is known as the blessed hope, and hopefully that is close, but it could also be what brings the U.S. down on those that are left behind. And having said that, now I want to move to another article before we return to Damon Duck's article by Mark Hitchcock, actually not an article, but his book, 101 Answers to End Time Questions. Is America mentioned in Bible prophecy? And Mark Hitchcock lists four basic options to explain the prophetic silence of the U.S. in the Bible. But we're going to skip to option four. This was actually, book was written 19 years ago, and the apostasy may have erased the number of true Christians that are now in our country. So, you know, factors change. It's a fluid situation. But I still like to believe that America is probably one of the most Christian nations left on the planet. And, of course, this is where he's coming from when he wrote this in 2001. He says there's a fourth option that I feel best explains the silence concerning America in the scriptures. America will become a third-rate nation overnight at the rapture. The rapture will be God's judgment on America. Consider this fact. If the rapture were to happen today, the United States would probably lose more people per capita than any other nation in the world. At the rapture, the Islamic nations in the Middle East would feel almost no effect at all. But the U.S. could become a third world nation overnight. Millions of home mortgages would go unpaid. The stock market would crash. Millions of productive workers would be suddenly removed from the workplace. It may be that America is not mentioned because she will not be a key player on her own, but rather only a part of the Antichrist's Western Confederacy of Nations. In a weakened economic and military condition, America might seek refuge with her NATO allies in Europe and be absorbed into the Antichrist emerging Western coalition. If that were the case, then America is not mentioned specifically in the Bible because after the rapture, she is merely one of the pawns in Antichrist Euro-American empire. Several eminent prophecy scholars and theologians support this view, and John Walford is one of them. Although the scriptures do not give us any clear word concerning the role of the United States in relationship to the revived Roman Empire and the later development of the world empire, it is probable that the United States will be in some form of alliance with the Roman ruler. Actually, a balance of power in the world may exist at that time, not too dissimilar to the present world situation, namely that Europe and the Mediterranean area will be in alliance with America in opposition to Russia, Eastern Asia, and Africa. I'm going to skip to the next part of Hitchcock's. I'll end Wolvard's quote there. The amalgamation of America into the Antichrist European Empire after the rapture makes perfect sense in the current political climate. The United States is slowly but relentlessly being drawn away from national sovereignty and into a globalist order. NATO, the UN, GATT, NAFTA, the WTO, and many other acronyms signal what many view as a startling trend away from U.S. sovereignty and towards submission to multinational treaties, organizations, and courts of law. When the rapture occurs and the U.S. is reduced to a third-rate power, she will find her place with the other nations in the reunited Roman Empire and Antichrist's kingdom. Now back to Damon Duck's Dangerous Day article. Black citizens are being slaughtered, and the only thing that I know that Mayor de Blasio has done, and of course, I skipped ahead here. Let me get back. Okay, here are nine more reasons why these are dangerous days. One, prophecy teachers have long warned that the approval of same-sex marriage will not end the demands of the LGBTQ community. And I noted by this sentence, days of Lot. You know, as I mentioned, we'd be looking at information along that lines of the days of Lot and the days of Lois, the days of Noah. I'm speaking fast so I can get through this information on this episode this week. The scriptures teach that God will give these people over to a reprobate mind, and there will be no end to this perversion until the second coming of Jesus. On June 29th, 2020, the mayor of Somerville, Massachusetts, signed a bill to legalize polyamorous relationships, open relationships between people who have several lovers at the same time, a person of one sex living with multiple partners of another sex at the same time, a perverted picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church. Two, lawlessness, a characteristic of the Antichrist, is surging big time in major U.S. cities, especially those run by liberal Democrats. There again, as I mentioned, the days of Noah. These are a few examples. A large area of Minneapolis looks like a war zone. Approximately 1,500 businesses destroyed. The governor of Minnesota asked Trump to declare a major disaster area and provide $500 million to pay for damages, Trump refused. The governor of Georgia declared a state of emergency and deployed 1,000 National Guard troops to protect the monument of Stone Mountain. St. Louis, Missouri, a couple that used guns to defend their lives when gun-carrying Black Lives Matter protesters broke into the gated community and threatened to kill them, steal their possessions, and burn their house. Their home has been raided by the police, and their guns have been seized. Reports say the St. Louis couple legally own their guns, and they have a constitutional right, of course, to defend their lives and property, yet their home has been raided, their guns have been seized, and they have been investigated. On the other hand, the gun-carrying mob that illegally broke into the gated community and terrorized the couple is being called peaceful protesters. They are not being investigated, and their guns have not been seized. On July 6, 2020, it was reported that between June 15, 2020, when hundreds of police were reassigned, and July 2, 2020, shootings in New York City surged when compared to the same period in 2019. And this is where I was speaking about de Blasio. Black citizens are being slaughtered, and the only thing that I know that Mayor de Blasio has done at this time is to paint Black Lives Matter on the street in front of Trump Tower, which will do absolutely nothing to improve the lives of black people. Third, despite the Islamic threat, many Jews believe that they will be safer in Israel than they are in the U.S. and other nations where they live. Israel is expecting about 90,000 immigrants in the next 18 months and more than 250,000 in the next 3 to 5 years. The immigrants are being drawn by the Holy Spirit, and this is a literal fulfillment of the end of the age Bible prophecy, Jeremiah 31:10 and Ezekiel 11:17 through 20. Fourth, on July 6, 2020, Trump notified the UN that the U.S. is withdrawing from the World Health Organization. If he's not reelected, his replacement can rescind Trump's decision. But this is one reason why globalists and Democrats want Trump out of office. They have started building their one-world government, and they want every nation, including the U.S. and Israel, to surrender their sovereignty. Okay, Bill Gates is the largest contributor to the WHO, the World Health Organization, and they are letting him tell them what to do concerning vaccinations and such. Certain vaccinations, which nobody really should want. Several companies have reported that they expect to start vaccinating people for the coronavirus in late December. True Christians will not be faced with taking the mark of the beast, but some or all of these vaccines may have cell lines that come from aborted babies. So he's not saying that these vaccines are the mark of the beast, of course, but the Bill Gates vaccine will be accompanied by a tattoo, and he wants to force people to take it under the threat of not being allowed to work by cell or sell if they refuse. This is the point. This is a clear indication that this generation is approaching the rapture in the tribulation period. Those that have been identified can be tracked and forced to be treated and are going to lockdown. Seven, in early July, and remember we're reading nine reasons why these are dangerous times. Seven, in early July, the governor of California temporarily banned singing and chanting in churches, and he limited indoor worship attendance to 25% of building capacity or a maximum of 110 attendees, whichever is a smaller amount. About that time, the ACLJ announced that it is preparing a lawsuit against the state of California. Eight, in 2014, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that family-owned businesses that are objecting on religious grounds cannot be forced to provide contraceptive insurance coverage for their employees. In early July 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that charitable religious groups cannot be forced to provide contraceptive insurance coverage for their employees. On July 8, 2020, Joe Biden pledged to reverse these two decisions. Nine, as an elected member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Ilhan Omar took an oath to defend the Constitution of the U.S., but she is openly calling for the dismantling of America's political and economic systems. She is one of the first to call for the dismantling of the police in Minnesota, is anti-Israel, and is a very influential and outspoken member of the Democrat Party. Ten, and he said he was going to give us nine, so this is a bonus. This is like a baker's dozen. Ten, as of July 2020, there have been eight mysterious incidents, explosions, fires, etc., in 14 days that have killed dozens of people and destroyed several important military and civilian targets in Iran. Coupled with this is the fact that Israel has struck more than 1,000 Iranian Hezbollah and Syrian targets in recent years. In Syria, in recent years. Iran's leaders seem helpless to do anything about it, and some of the mullahs are demanding answers. Only God knows how much longer this will drag on. But sooner or later, Iran will be forced to respond. God loves, of course, we'll have a lot to say about Turkey coming up in future podcasts as well. Anyway, God loves everyone. And I say that because, of course, Iran and Turkey are two of the main players in the invasion to come in Ezekiel 38 and 39. God loves everyone, and he paid the sin debt of all who put their trust in Jesus when he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, John 3:16. The synopsis, really, of what he's saying in this article, I think, is written here. These are dangerous days. Armed terrorists are roaming the streets and are being praised. Honest citizens are being disarmed. The police are being vilified. Church attendance is being limited. Some Christians are being told they can't sing in church, etc. And as I understand Bible prophecy, God will soon allow all hell to break loose on earth. Of course, I believe he's speaking of the Great Tribulation there, folks. The way to avoid that is to bow your head, acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive your sins, and, I would add, to receive Christ's and God's gift of pardon for your sins. Jesus said it is finished when he died on the cross, and he that was the term that meant paid in full, tetelestai, an accounting term. Now, next week, and this is sort of a transitional statement I'm going to make here, because recently there was breaking news of the Israel and United Arab Emirates, the UAE, peace treaty. They reached a peace treaty. And so this is going to be a segue as we study the temple, the future temple that's going to be built in Israel. And this will be a little segue, since this is in the news, and you won't hear this for another week. So I wanted to get this in. You've been hearing about this, of course, recently. The breaking news peace treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates is a good thing for both parties, it says. The question is this the agreement of Daniel 9:27 that the Antichrist will confirm when he comes to power? That agreement relates to Jewish use of the Temple Mount and the Jewish people allowed to place a structure on it for sacrificial purposes. The only mention about the Temple Mount so far in these present negotiations is that the UAE can travel to Jerusalem and visit Al-Aqsa Mosque and Dome of the Rock. When the agreement comes that Israel can use the Temple Mount to place a structure there, they will start the daily sacrifice, probably just the grain sacrifice, and 7 years later, Jesus' feet will touch the Mount of Olives. We return with them to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, bring it. And that's a quote from my friend Gary Fisher, a prophecy expert. And he is making that statement, of course, of his opinion of these current events. So God bless you all. I hope you'll join us next week.